Have you ever encountered a beggar? Or have you ever encountered a panhandler who says he is a Christian? A beggar Christian. Have you ever meet a person who says, I am a Christian? Well, several times, marami pong beses na there's somebody would come and knock at the door, introduce themselves. I am a Christian. Actually, I'm evangelical Christian. Can you give me money for to buy gas? Because I'm running out of gas and I was laid off 2 weeks ago and I need money for my car. Or can you give me money to buy food? This experience made me smile because someone came and asked for gas and I look at his car and his car was much newer model than my car. Before I had a 2003 Elantra, and the man who came asking for gas was driving, I think, 2010 Jeep or something like that. Back in the Philippines, when there is this pasalod. Have you heard that pasalod before in the Philippines? Pwede mong ipasa yung tax money mo sa isang kaibigan mo, and they can use that money to send text messages. And sometimes we make a joke, papasa naman ng load dyan, oh. Binta mo na lang yung cellphone mo, pang-load ka. Kind of like, so it's so intriguing or surprising to have those people. Somebody also came, they would ask, can you give us money? I haven't eaten for a few days. They say they were hungry. And I say, would you like me to give you food? I have food in the fridge. There are a lot of food in the fridge. And I would, I need money for my family too. I can give you fish. I have a lot of fish there in the fridge. And they would say, we don't eat fish. We just like money. Give us money for we can go and buy food from McDonald's or something like that. And to think that, I would give them money to buy food in McDonald's, and siguro with my 10 years in Canada, I went to McDonald's maybe 3 times or 4 times in my life in Canada. But there are people who are like that. They ask for money and say they are a Christian. What's your opinion? Is it a Christian lifestyle to beg? Did Jesus say, come follow me and I will make you beggar? In times of war, people are displaced. In times of calamities, people are forced to evacuate. And they may need some help for some time, but when Christians solicit for a cause, for example, is it beneficial to our testimony? Ano po yung pagkakaiba ng regularly begging for food and soliciting for Christian cause? Dahil po yung mga nagsusolicit ay nagpipay ng tax. And they are not forcing people to give, just wait for their beautiful bowl for you to put. While panhandler use a paper cup or something. Is it not the same principle? The Lord of Lords owns everything. The Bible says that the Lord owns the cattle in the thousand sheep. Dito sa Canada, we can understand that cattle in the thousand sheep, dami pong bison or mga deer or Goliaths. And the Lord owns them. He provides for his faithful servants, that's for sure. The Lord Jesus promised in Matthew 6, 33, 34, let's read this together. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his righteousness. In all these things, what does that mean? All. Everything we need for godly life, that is all. Not maybe luxurious, sometimes he would give, but not necessarily. How do we seek his kingdom? Paano po yung seeking his kingdom? What does that mean? We let God's authority prevail in our life. We let God rule, reign in our hearts. How do we seek his righteousness? We are not going to search, where is your righteousness? God's righteousness dictates our lifestyle. How do we know his righteousness? The scripture has listed the things that God wants us to do. The righteous lifestyle that God wants us to live. Does it exhibit God's righteousness if Christians live as freeloaders? If Christians live as panhandlers, if Christians live as beggars, does it exhibit God's righteousness? King David testified in Psalm 37, verse 25. Let's read this together. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Yan po si King David. The lifestyle of Joseph represents how God sustains, how God provides for the needs of genuine believers. It's really wonderful to look at the life of Joseph. Joseph was sold as a slave, meaning he owns nothing when he was a slave. Even his life he did not own. Somebody owns him because he was sold as a slave. And yet from nothing, he rose to become the most powerful person in Egypt. Actually, only by name that Pharaoh was ruling Egypt. It was actually Joseph who ruled Egypt in his time. So that is a possibility for every believer, that every believer may be able to reach by God's grace if we continue to be faithful. But we can only be faithful if we allow Christ to reign in our hearts, because faithfulness doesn't come from human. It comes from the Spirit of Christ, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness. So in the time of famine, the time of Joseph, there was famine, there was severe famine. And this famine caused suffering in the entire world, not just in Egypt, even in Canaan. There were no record what happened in the other parts of the world, but probably there were. It was affected by famine. And nobody sold grain in the world at that time. People may have tried to save their food little by little, but nobody wanted to sell grain because they were expecting to use those grains they saved for themselves. Nobody sold grain except in Egypt. Before famine, Joseph collected these and kept grains in storehouses. Let's read again verse 14 and 15. Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in Egypt in Canaan, and in payment for the grain they were buying, and he brought it to Pharaoh's palace. When the money of the people of Egypt in Canaan was gone, all Egypt came to Joseph and said, "Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is all gone." Now, previously, Pharaoh had a dream, two dreams, and Joseph interpreted it as abundance, years of abundance, 7 years of abundance, and 7 years of famine. And there was abundance. People may have enjoyed their life, but Joseph, he knew that famine is coming, so he collected all the food that can be collected and kept them in secured storehouses during those years of abundance. And then severe famine came, it began, and his brothers from Canaan came to Egypt. They relocated their families to Egypt, and Joseph provided food for them for free, free, free. He gave them free food during famine. Severe famine lingered for 7 years, and people had consumed all the reserved food supplies, while the family of Joseph did not worry about food. The rest of the world had no choice but to spend their money to buy food. And people in Egypt and nearby nations purchased food from. The severe famine and scarcity of food supply in the time was an isolated case. We also hear news about hunger somewhere in the world. People are hungry. This is scarcity and abundance of food represents a reality of life in eternity. If there is these temporary things that we experience in this world, they represent something in eternity. In a parable, Jesus told a story of a rich man with luxurious lifestyle and a beggar named Lazarus. Lazarus had no job. Why? He was covered with disease. Disease covered his skin. All over him was this leprous or something. And even dogs lick his sores. Have you ever had that experience? Yung merong sugat, kumbaga ang tawag doon sa Tagalog, galis. Nasubukan niyo bang nagkagalis Pilipinas nung kayo bata? Because you love to play on the dust. And in the countryside, it's normal to have children with sores all over their legs because they love to play on the sand and the dust. Now, if you are an employer, if you have a company, you have establishment, you have a business, would you like to employ a man covered with the skin disease? This skin disease is not only a skin disease na nilalangaw, nangangamoy din. It's malansa if you have that experience or you have seen one. I guess those who are working in the hospital saw some of those situations. Anyway, both Lazarus and the rich man died. Angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. The rich man was tormented in Hades. Abraham's bosom represents the eternal glorious life for believers who trust in Christ as Savior. And Hades is the eternal punishment for those who rejected Christ. The story of beggar Lazarus with skin disease, does it inspire begging as lifestyle? Does it represent possible tough problems that believers may endure? In comparison, the luxurious lifestyle of the rich man, it represents a lifestyle that humans may yearn in a material world. Lazarus didn't long to become rich, didn't long to have luxury or leisure. He just wanted to eat even the discarded food from the rich man's table. That was what the story said. Can you agree that the lifestyle we chose has eternal consequences? In the parable, Jesus declared an agonizing punishment for anyone who rejects his warning. The rich man pleaded in Luke chapter 16, verse 27 to 31. Let's read this together. "I beg you, Father," said Lazarus, "send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Can anyone believe Christ's resurrection from the dead and disregard the warnings of Moses and the prophets? We accept the Old Testament warning by faith, and by faith we repent our sins. Repentance, this is a practical proof that God's word is powerful, that God's word affected us, that we might want to live a godly life. Christ is the Lord who spoke to Moses and the prophets. He is the Lord who was born in human, Jesus. In any case, make sure that you have faith like Abraham. In Romans chapter 14, in Galatians 3:7, let's read this together. "To those who have faith of Abraham, he is the father of us all." It also says in Galatians 3:7, "Those who have faith are children of Abraham." Now, like the Israelites, believers, we are descendants of Abraham by faith. By faith, we become children of Abraham. The Israelites had no problem of food during the severe famine, and the rest of the world was starving. After they spent all their money for food, they came to Joseph. He instructed them to exchange their livestock, to swap their livestock with food they needed. Let's read again verse 16 and 17. "Then bring your livestock," said Joseph. I will sell you food in exchange for your livestock, since your money is gone." So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and he gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep and goats, their cattle and donkeys. And he brought them through that year with food in exchange for all their livestock. Why did the people swap their livestock with food? Why not just eat them? They may have eaten some of their livestock and swap some of their livestock with grain. They may have even sold valuable things or anything of value in their homes so that they have nothing but their livestock as their last resort, last solution to hunger. Did you ever have extreme hunger before? You were born in the Philippines? Maybe you experienced that? You were born in the countryside? Maybe you experience hunger, you just go and look for guava, santol, or any fruit there in the forest for you to survive. Have you experienced those? You were born in Canada, you haven't. The famine in scripture was instrumental for God to test faith in him. Hunger was instrumental for God to test faith in him. Abraham, the father of all who have faith in God, for all believers, his faith was also tested with famine. It says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, let's read this. There was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. The Lord promised Abraham to Canaan would be his, but it was this time, maybe Abraham has this shaky faith yet at the time, so he wanted to find ways he can live. He went to Egypt during famine, but when everything was normal, he returned to Canaan. There was also famine in the time of Isaac, the son of Abraham. It says in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 to 3. Let's read this. There was famine in the land beside the previous famine in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you." Now, in the time of Abraham, the Lord did not say to Abraham, "Do not go to Egypt." There was no instruction. So it was a time where the Lord was observing Abraham if he would trust God, that God would provide for him. But in the time of Isaac, the Lord clearly instructed Isaac not to go to Egypt. And Isaac obeyed. He obeyed the Lord. He waited to God for God to bless him, and he was blessed. And famine was God's instrument to magnify his provision, how he provides for all who trust in him. When everybody is hungry, the Lord provides. In his time, Joseph was the ruler, the Lord who controlled the marketplace of food. Joseph represents Christ in time of needs. Joseph was Lord of everything in Egypt. Christ is Lord over everything. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35, let's read this together. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Now that should remind us that Jesus did not come to make us beggars, because he will provide. When the Lord decreed that whoever comes to him will never be hungry, when he said that whoever comes to me will never be thirsty, did he exclusively pertain to spiritual food or spiritual drink only? Was it only for spiritual food or spiritual drink? Or did he include what we may eat, what we may drink in this physical world? It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Let's read this. "To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us in His own glory and goodness. Now, that's wonderful. Grace and peace in abundance through the knowledge. What is grace? God's provision, free provision. What is peace? When we have problems, do we have abundance of peace? Only when we have the knowledge of Christ. This term knowledge pertains to a first-hand relationship with God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not only intellectual assent. It's not only intellectual memorization, things, ideas that we may say. It's a practice, a relationship, intimate relationship with the Lord. That is the knowledge. Kind of like, you know, the husband knows his wife more than anybody else. That kind of relationship. Other relatives may know the wife, even parents know the wife of the husband, but only the husband can know the wife more intimately than anybody else. That is the kind of intimacy that the Lord pertains to, this knowledge of Christ and of God. Meaning, the more we grow in our faith, the more we trust that God provides for our needs. This intimacy of our relationship is equated with our trust that the Lord provides everything we need to live a godly life. We desire to have a godly life. God has already provided for that, for all the things that we need. So the more we grow in our faith, look at your faith. The more we trust God, because faith is trust in God. Trust that He provides for our needs. How much trust do we have that God provides for our needs? Look at your faith. Is it balanced? You cannot say, I have strong faith. You cannot say, I have faith in the Lord that He will bring me into His eternal glory, and then be shaken that God would provide. It's not that way. So when we trust that He gives us eternal life, you trust that He gives us eternal life, will the God who gave you eternal life ignore your practical life? Think about that. Christ is the author of life. He gives us life, this physical life and spiritual life. He knows what's best for us. The things that we think is best for us may not necessarily be the best for us. Have you heard of somebody, because he has money, he's popular, and he needs to have a muscle car, sports car, fast car, because he can buy it. He needs to have that lifestyle according to his popularity. And he has money to buy it. He's not begging for it. So he bought, then end up in the hospital. Why? You like that lifestyle. Because you have money, you spend it for the luxury, and then you want to stay in the hospital for many, many, many months, recovering from your injuries. Is that the kind of lifestyle you want? The Lord instructed in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32, let's read this together. So, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So we are saying that we are pagans when we... Anong pagkain natin? Anong pagkain ba yan? bibigyan mo ng fish, ayaw, hindi daw pagkain. Of course, allergic sa fish. So pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. How and where you may access God's provision. If God has already prepared what you need to live a godly life, all you need to do is discover where. So Lord, give me that idea how I may access to that provision. When Joseph told his brothers, come, relocate to Egypt. At first, Jacob did not believe. Eventually, they believed. And they relocated to Egypt because the famine forced them. If there was no famine, they would not go to Egypt. But famine lingered a little longer, so they relocated to Egypt. Sometimes God would do that. God would allow problems for us to linger for a while, for us to force us to trust Him, to believe in Him. And Joseph did not, bahala na kayo dyan. Dinala na ako na kayo dito. Bahala na kayo sa inyong buhay. Buting nandyan kayo kaysa sa kanan. Walang pagkain dito meron. No! He provided food for them and their families. Not only his brothers, their families as well. His father, Jacob, his brothers, their families, they did not bother to ask Joseph, what's our food, Joseph? What shall we drink, Joseph? What shall we wear, Joseph? No. He provided for all their needs. What they needed, everything was provided for them according to their number. The phrase that says according to their number means they were provided equally, fairly. Nobody was given less. Nobody was given more. Everyone was given equal things they needed to live in the best land of Egypt. Think about this. If Joseph knew how to provide for his family, the Lord of Lords, Christ Jesus, knows far better than Joseph to provide for all members of the family of God. Amen. We say God is love. Was Joseph more loving than God? It is true. But we can only believe and expect the Lord's provision by faith. For us to believe, we need to keep praying. Lord, increase my faith. You know, Lord, I feel like I can't believe you this time, so increase my faith. Keep on praying. If there's doubt, ask the Lord, increase my faith. Lord, I have this doubt, a little doubt, you know. Take this doubt away in place of faith. Don't allow this doubt to grow. Allow my faith to grow. Lord, please, please, you know. You know, your children, parents know this very clearly. Children are very persistent when they want something. Gusto ko. Pagdating sa mall, I like that. Gusto yung ano, iiyak doon sa mall, oh, magkukuha ng attention sa mga tao. Bahala, mamaya may kurot ka sa akin. Experience that? Or have you experienced that, children? When you were younger, you'd cry loud in the mall for you to get what you want. That is something. Why would children do that? Because they trust that the love of their parents for them cannot help but to give what they wanted. Do you have that trust in the Lord? To want to cry in the Lord aloud? Lord, you do not want my testimony to be destroyed, right? Yes. So, Lord, please give me this. Increase my faith. Of course. The Lord would love for us na maglambing sa Kanya. How do you explain that in English? Maglambing. Bahala na kayo. You explain to those who cannot understand maglambing. You go and Google lambing. What is lambing? We do not know the future. We do not know what happens in the next few years. We do not know what happens in the coming decades. People are saying that there will be a recession in Canada in the next few years. I don't know. But the Lord knows what the future brings. We just trust Him. We just trust Him. If we are shaken a little bit, keep on asking, Lord, increase my faith. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39, let's read this together. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, nor neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pero bakit meron pa rin akong problema? It could be that God wanted to show you more of His love. But if you are doubting it, keep on asking, Lord, help me trust Christ as my Lord truly and understand what it means to trust Him as Lord. Lords do not ask their servant, you servant, go and work and give me food. No, the Lord would give the servant the things he needed to prepare for the food of the Lord. This is why when we say, Lord, give me work. When the Lord says, give 10% of your, pero wala naman akong work, Lord, na bibigyan ka ng work. Situations, events, or circumstances, we may appreciate. Situations, events, circumstances that we may disapprove. The Lord allows anything if they are useful to get our attention and recognize His love for us. The things that catches your attention, God's instrument for you to remember Him. You may be enduring some trouble. You may be facing some concerns right now. Through Christ who loves us, you can conquer them by faith. Can you believe it? So the way we react to concerns, if there's recession, how are you concerned about that? This practically proves the level of trust in Christ as Lord. So your reaction, look at your reaction when there's problem. That is the level of your faith in Him. So if you sense that you needed more faith, ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith so that you would react accordingly. Sometimes we try our best to accomplish things. We want to prove that we can do this, we can do that, to be like this and to be like that. We want to go in this situation, to that event, in circumstances. These things, events, circumstances, situations, anything that God allows, it will happen. It's best to ask the help of the Lord. So pray that Christ give you this firm decision. Lord, you want me to do this? You want me to do that? Give me firm decision to do this, to do what you want me to do. You want me to accomplish. Godly ideas requires what? Human effort, godly effort. Godly ideas can be performed through godly effort. If you use human effort, it will be kulang. It falls short. It will not be considered godly effort. Godly ideas cannot be done by godly effort. So if we think about godly ideas, we need godly effort. Okay, we need the help of God. So ask God, Lord, increase my faith. If this is your idea, Lord, this is your idea, this is godly idea, you know, I cannot do that. Increase my faith to do it, to accomplish it. Christ has been given all authority in heaven, all authority on earth. Can you believe that? How do you believe that? Ask the Lord to increase your faith again. In heaven and on earth, anything happens according to His discretion. Whatever God, whatever the Lord Jesus allows to happen, it happens. Similarly, Joseph had the authority. He controls the sales of food supplies to all who purchased from him. If he says the price is this, they cannot do anything but to follow. If he says you give more to this, I want that person to have more, they will follow. He is the authority. And Pharaoh did not worry about that. He believes, he trusted Joseph, that Joseph had the Spirit of God to do what is right for his kingdom. Let's read again verse 18 to 19. When the year was over, they came to him the following year and said, "We cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone and our livestock belongs to you, there is nothing left to our Lord for our Lord except our bodies and our land. Why should we perish before your eyes? We and our lands as well. Buy us and our land in exchange for food, and we with our land be in bondage to Pharaoh. Give us seed so that we may live and not die, and the land may not become desolate." Now, during famine, people become survivors. They became survivors. They resolved to sell themselves. They were willing to sell themselves in their land to Joseph. That was a sacrificial decision they have made. Why? They wanted to survive. Would you do that? For sure. You would rather buy and, no, babayaan mo na yan. Or, hintayin mo na lang natutubo. Ibinta mo na yung, kung ano pwede mong ibinta, right? If you are really hungry. Truly, to be the servant of the ruler who can supply the food they needed is far better than without master, but without food, right? There are many people in the world. They are free to do what they want to do. They have no rulers. But if you look at them, they are kawawa. But you look at the servants of the queen, they have their dress, uniform, very clean. Look at their food. Look at their ang kanilang tinitirhan. But they are called servants. While the other people, they are called, we are free. And yet, they can free to do whatever they do. They do not even pay tax. They are free. What do you like? What lifestyle do you like? Be a servant of the ruler who can give you food, or be on your own and worry what you wanna wear, what you want to eat, where you would sleep at night. Who wants to be independently hungry? Be independent and hungry. To be free and hungry. By faith, we trust that God sustains our needs to live a godly lifestyle. It says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." Now, his name in Hebrew, Abram, It means exalted father. And the Lord changed the name of Abram into Abraham, which means father of many nations. Abraham believed God, and at old age, at the age of 100, the Lord gave him a son. Sarah was 90 years old. Sarah admitted that she was very old to get pregnant, but she conceived and gave birth to her son Isaac. Why was he named Isaac? The means of the name Isaac means, Isaac means he laughs, because Sarah laughed. Do I still have that pleasure at this age to conceive? Because she cannot believe that God allowed her to give birth. With God, nothing is impossible. Amen? Only God can do godly things. That's for sure. Only God can do godly things. Do you want to prove the level of your faith? Pray that God reveals to you godly things He prepared for you to have or to ask Him. It says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, let's read this together. He redeemed us in order that blessing given to Abraham might become to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, God sent the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, into our life. Why? To guarantee that He will bless us similar to Abraham's blessing. When the Holy Spirit, we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, that is assurance that God would bless us like the blessing of Abraham. Do you believe that? We've got to grow in our faith. God tested Abraham. He will also test our faith for us to realize how much we have grown in our faith. How do you know that you have stronger faith? You will know when the tougher the testing will be. God knows that your faith becomes stronger. Isn't it like when you go to the gym, the more you carry heavier weights, that you know that the stronger you are? Similar to that. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money. Live from the love, and be content with what you have, because God said, never will I forsake you, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Do not forget that phrase before that phrase. Many times we claim God will never leave you, God will never forsake you, but first, mayroon pong requirement for that. Requirement is, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. If you have that contentment with what you have, you've got that faith to believe that God will never leave you, never forsake you. Most people have no idea that they love money. Do you know if you love money or not? No, I don't love money. You can say that, but here is reality. Many people have overtaken by money, the love of money, of course. To be responsible, they would say, I need to provide for my family. I need to pay my monthly bills. That's very respectable, very noble. If expenditures are not necessities, not essential to godly lifestyle, they are considered luxury or leisure items. Like for example, I keep on telling this to my fisherman friend. Nung papunta kami mag-fishing. Fishing tayo, fishing. Namo, gusto ko, one day I would like to have that boat para mag-fishing tayo. That's the luxury thinking I have, to have a boat so that I can fish when I retire. Do I need that to have a godly life? No. But it's just something that I would think of. And many people would think about that. Most people work extra hard for them. for these luxury items, leisure items. Check this out. Check yourself. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Let's read. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with income. These two is meaningless. Now, don't say I don't love money. Just think, do I have enough? If you say I don't have enough, you love money. But Pastor, I'm poor. Of course. When we don't have much, we live that much. But if we have more, we adjust. You remember today is we have extra hour? And we adjust our sleeping time, all right? People would say, oh, dapat kasi pastor ang ating worship service ay 10 in the morning. I tell you, kahit gawin natin 10, mayroon at mayroon pa rin maaga na darating. I'm saying maaga, I would rather quote the maaga because they will understand this what I'm saying. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with income. Do you love wealth? Don't say, I don't love wealth. Ask yourself, am I satisfied with my income? Oh, pastor naman, nagsulat pa naman ako sa boss na hihingi ng increase ko. Pinatamaan mo na naman ako. No, it's not me. It's God's word. It's not me. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, then ask, Lord, forgive me. Increase my faith. Ganon yun. Huwag kayong magalit sa pastor nyo. Many workaholic parents have no sufficient time for children. And they work very hard. Para bibilian kita ng cellphone, laptop, iPad, ano pa, yung mga luxury, camera, or sports car, high-tech gadget for children. And then, they wonder, these children who were given luxury, laki salayaw jiprox. They do not know how to respect their parents. Physically, mentally tired, they need sleep. They are tired of going to overtime just to provide for the family. And children would not or cannot recognize that. Did you ever drive while sleepy? Galing sa work, you're sleepy. Driver said, mayroong kaibigan sa Pilipinas, nag-overtime siya, 24 hours, uwi siya, drive siya pa uwi. Nagising siya, butit nakaparada doon sa gilid yung sasakyan niya. Somebody also said, nagising din siya nang binangga niya yung likuran ng isang truck. You know what happens. Yeah? Many drivers admitted, according to statistics, 43% na involved ng car accident said they admitted that they have overtaken by fatigue or lack of sleep. Yung bakit sila na disgrasya. So keep praying. Keep praying even when you are alert driving, that people na sumasabay sa inyo would be alert too. Because you do not know, especially this winter time. It might be that they are sleeping while driving. And be considerate to others and to yourself too. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, let's read this. Do you not know that your bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought for at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. just like the servants, just like the people who sold their bodies in their land to Joseph, we are like that. We have been bought. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of the death and resurrection of Christ. He was crucified to pay for the penalty of our sins. We were slaves of sin, but we were freed from sin. So Christ's resurrection purchased our freedom from the slavery of sin, and now we are slaves of righteousness so that we live godly righteousness. Christ is our Lord, and we are his servants. Trust that he would supply our needs, strength to serve him with lifestyle of godly righteousness.